Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order as 1:30 p.m. on Monday, April 13, 2026. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary. She makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Doug Bridges from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Tilton, Senator Stevens, Senator Tobin, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first item of business on the agenda is confirmations hearing. The President has referred the Governor's appointment to the Judiciary Committee, State Board of Parole. Members have received today's the resume for today's appointee, and we have, especially if I get on the, we have Steve Meyer here, who's been nominated to the Board of Parole. Mr. Meyer, if you would come forward. I think you're online. Put yourself on the record, and you may begin your presentation or your statement.
Good afternoon. My name's Steve Meyer. I'm calling from Kenai, where I've been a resident since 1971. I grew up here, worked in a lot of different things, commercial fishing, the oil field contracting, and then in the 90s, I went into the law enforcement field, and I'm still there today. Thank you.
And the short question is, are you currently on the parole board? And if so, how long have you been on?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I think you asked if I was currently on the parole board, and I am.
How long have you been on the parole board?
10 years.
Okay. Questions from members of the committee, and Senator Keel joined us at 1:32. Any questions from members of the committee? Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Meyer, for being willing to continue to serve. I'm just curious to hear a little bit more on your thoughts on particularly geriatric parole. As I have heard in your previous confirmation hearings, you were very well aware that we have some of the most historically low rates of discretionary parole being experienced these years by Alaskans, but I'm also very concerned about the historically low rates of geriatric parole. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about how the Board of Parole plays a significant role in helping reduce significant medical costs to the state for folks who are eligible for and should be considered for discretion, or excuse me, for a geriatric parole.
Thank you, Senator. I'm sorry. I'm really having a hard time hearing today. I don't know why, but
Are you on a cell?
Asking about,
are you on a cell phone? Are you on a cell phone? I mean, our speaker phone?
No, I'm on a hard line.
Okay.
Let me try switching to speaker and see if that's better. Hello.
Still hear you.
Can you hear us? Is it? Do you hear us better now, or is it worse?
Let's try it. Thank you.
Senator Tobin, do you want to restate your question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Meyer, can you hear me now?
It's a little better. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I start off by thanking you for your long tenure here on the Board of Parole. My question is specifically about geriatric parole, which I have heard in your previous hearings, your comments about the significant decrease in discretionary parole. But I'd love you to talk about your perspective on the almost near absolute non-usage of geriatric parole and how the Board of Parole should be considering this option, or especially for folks who are eligible to help the state address increased medical needs from potential parolees.
Okay, thank you, Senator. I think I could hear you pretty well. I think you're asking about geriatric parole and some of, and you heard me in the previous hearing. We have granted very few people special medical parole based on medical issues. Part of that is because there's certain criteria they have to meet. And in my own personal view, I think there's probably some things that could be looked at that would allow some folks to be granted that. I'm totally aware of the cost involved with folks who are geriatric or otherwise severely, medically being taken care of. So I think there's probably ways that could be changed. I certainly don't, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying I think there's things out there, and I think the potential to brainstorm that a little bit and look at it is a viable and valuable thing.
Follow-up?
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Meyer. I'd be curious to know, what are some of those things that you've considered or your personal views on how we might be able to exercise judiciously and prudently geriatric parole to help maintain or decrease the continued cost overruns we're seeing at the Department of Corrections?
Some of the criteria are the terms, and I can't quote them here, but like, for example, if the person is relatively ambulatory, in other words, they're getting along fine in prison, they're able to, go to things, go to eat, go do those sorts of things. That's the way the current statutes read, makes them not eligible for geriatric or medical parole. The other thing is, and it's an important one, but it's also very, very, looking for the right word. But one of the things that we look at, and it's public safety is always, our first concern, but would this person be able to commit a similar offense that they're on parole for? And, when we look at that, it's a very, we kind of what if it, and it seems like most of the time you have to say yes, this person could. The likelihood of that seems very distant most of the time, if that makes sense.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Meyer, I may not have understood you. So in your contemplation or adjudication about whether somebody should be eligible for special medical or geriatric parole, you consider if a person may commit in the future a similar crime as criteria to deny someone parole.
Oh, I'm sorry to have interrupted you, but yes, that's one of the things that's part of the criteria.
Senator Tobin?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If that is part of the statute, that is something we should look at, because thought crimes or considerations or contemplations about whether someone may or may not engage in future behavior seems rather inappropriate to consider whether someone has provided restitution and served their term within the system that has already applied for a crime that they have previously committed.
Thank you, Senator Tobin. I do not see any. Oh, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Meyer, I guess questions about the role of the parole board and Alaska's recidivism rates. We are among the highest states, I think, for folks returning to prison within 3 years of release. And is there a role the parole board can play in improving that number, whether it's supervised release or structured reentry into society, or is it your view that recidivism goes down if we just straight time people? What is the parole board's proper role there?
Well, thank you, Senator. We unfortunately we don't really have a lot of say per se and how parolees are dealt with when they're released. So, I mean, we can make suggestions about treatment. We talked a lot about programming. And one of the things I think that, and this is just my personal opinion, it's not the board's opinion, is that we're faced with a reality that a parolee can do treatment, a parolee can do programming, but when there's not a legitimate end game to that, in other words, somebody goes through residential treatment and then they release to a lot of the time, not really anything. Of course, some of that's due to the economy, those sorts of things. But I think that's, and where we see successes typically are people who, you know, get some programming, get out, they're able to get a job, they have a home, they can get around. There's a lot of stumbling blocks for people in today's world. And I think, I guess I don't want to say too much, but I think there's a lot of things, you know, I've been in this business a long time, and I think about this most every day, is how could we, what do we need to do to make this better? And I, for sure, there have to be things we can. I'm probably not smart enough to figure it out, but that's my thought.
One follow-up, if I may.
Senator Keel.
Thank you. Mr. Meyer, the role of the board in setting parole conditions along with decisions of whether to grant parole or not, I think is laid out in the statute. Maybe I misunderstood. You seem to say the board could make a suggestion about parole conditions. Can you talk about how you see the board's role in actually setting parole conditions and whether that's part of your decision to grant or not?
The parole board does actually set parole conditions. Like, for example, if I do this a lot, I'll look at a person's history and I'll look at what they've done. So we'll say I have someone who's in on for drugs. So I'll set a condition for drug treatment, and I'll set a condition for, you know, UAs to monitor their drug use. So those sorts of things, we do have some impact on. What we really don't have is what happens with the parole officers in the community, what happens with, you know, all the, and the parole officers typically do a good job. There's resources out there, and they're available to help people try to find resources, but a lot of the time there just isn't enough. So sometimes, you know, like for example, if we have a person that is going to release, and we might recommend that they do this, that, or the other, like say we might recommend that they go to transitional housing. There's a lot of people that are getting out and really don't have a place to go. I wasn't able to hear you real good, Senator, so I hope I'm answering your question appropriately.
Senator Keel, any further questions?
Thanks.
I don't see any further questions. Mr. Meyer, thank you very much. We're going to go ahead and open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to provide public testimony on the application or the nomination of Steve Meyer to the parole board? Hearing and seeing no one, I'm looking to see, and I don't have anyone on the phone that would like to provide public testimony, so we're going to close public testimony. Are there any further questions for Mr. Meyer? Hearing and seeing none, any final comments from members of the committee? Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. President, or excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I just want to mention that the Alaska Constitution does guarantee the right to rehabilitation. And that is not necessarily predicated on whether we provide those services or not, or whether the community has those services. It is that we have a constitutional obligation that when someone is incarcerated, to ensure that they are offered the opportunities and chances to rehabilitate and restore the harm that they've created, and re-enter society as successfully and as stably as possible. I think that is the significant role of our Board of Parole, is to adjudicate whether there are folks who meet the qualifications and support them in that endeavor. I'm deeply concerned with the continued significant decrease in discretionary and geriatric parole that is being offered in our state, not only for the cost to the taxpayers, but also for the constitutional infringements on Alaskans.
Thank you. Don't see any other comments. Senator Keel, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Judiciary Committee, having reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee, forwards the name of Steve Meyer, appointee for the State Board of Parole, to a joint session for consideration. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members of the committee to vote for or against the individual during any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation.
Thank you very much. Mr. Meyer's name will be forwarded to the joint session. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Back on record. The second and last item on our agenda is House Bill 239, Criminally Negligent Homicide Failure to Assist, sponsored by Representative Kopp. This is the third hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. We'll be taking public testimony on House Bill 239 at this time. I'd like to open public testimony for House Bill 239. Is there anyone in the room who would like to provide public testimony on House Bill 239? Hearing, seeing no one looking online. Looks like Julie Cox has called in. Note, if you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not as clear and it's often difficult to hear what you're saying. Right now I have one person, Julie Cox. Ms. Cox, you will be limited to 2 minutes. Please identify yourself for the record and you may proceed.
Hi, my name is Julie Ann Cox. I am here in support of House Bill 239 and support of Jeff Kelly. Family and friends of Chase Bellison. Ironically, Jeff and Kelly stood by my side when my daughter, Kayla Johnson, brought a dark time on my life with a DUI failure to render aid and hiding evidence in 2011, causing traumatic brain injury to Gavin George, not knowing that this would affect them in the future. This evidence did not fit the crime. I'm not sure I saw remorse from my daughter. Please pass this bill and give justice for Keith Bellison. Please. That's all I got.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions from members of the committee. Thank you for taking the time to provide public testimony. I don't see anyone else online. I don't see anyone else in the room. So we are going to close public testimony. And I would want to see, before we set the bill aside, would the bill sponsor's office like to make any remarks? And any last questions from members of the committee for the bill sponsor's office? Hearing seeing none, we will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, April 15 at 1:30 p.m. We'll be continuing our confirmation hearings, and we'll have a first hearing on Senate Bill 247, Generated Obscene Child Sex Abuse Material, sponsored by our Vice Chair, Senator Keel. And that we will stand adjourned. The time is now 1:50 p.m.